Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. Today, we're actually talking about a subject that is near and dear to my heart, and it's an awful subject, actually, that I had to experience, and everyone eventually has to experience it. But my guest is experiencing that at it enough to get a degree in counseling and all that good stuff. And my guest today is Diane Ashley, and she is, as I said, she holds a degree in counseling and holds a degree in everything else, I believe. And so I'm going to ask her the baseline questions, and then we're going to take it from there. Good morning, Diane. Welcome to Women of Wisdom.
Good morning, Wynn, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And my first question is why? Why did you start your business? Why did you go into counseling? Why?
Well, I've always had an interest in helping others who don't have a way to help themselves. They financially couldn't afford it, didn't have insurance to cover it. So I started working on degrees and moving in that direction. I have done a lot of free community-based counseling for individuals to help with that. And with that, during that process, my oldest son drowned in a situation that he was put into by others, and that led me to write a book, How to Help Someone Who is Grieving.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. At what age did this happen, if you don't mind me asking?
He was 22 when it happened, and this last Sunday, July 26th, made the 10-year anniversary. So it was a difficult day.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, well,
I am honored that you have the courage and the strength to come on this week to talk about not only your book, but your son's life. And how this helping others process has helped you in the midst of all this. I'm sure that writing a book on grief helped you too. Did it?
Well, actually, it was a difficult process because I had to relive a lot in order to get it down on paper in a fashion that other people could relate to. The book itself, it contains also stories of individuals I interviewed who have also suffered grief. So some of the listeners would probably connect with some of those grief stories, people who have gone through a divorce, people who have just been abused, people who have had difficult situations to try and cope with. And the book was specifically to help others who go through similar things and help them understand that they're not alone, but also help people who want to work with others and teach them, do these things, but don't do these things. So, for example, go ahead.
Now, why would you... And then we'll get to your example in a couple minutes. Why would you say divorce is a form of grief?
An individual who goes through a divorce, one person may not grieve it if they were the one that wanted it. The one who doesn't want it, it is a form of grief because it's a loss of a relationship. It's for all intents and purposes, it's actually the death of a relationship. And with that, there's a lot of emotional upheaval.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I have witnessed several divorces. the disabled population. Friends of mine who were disabled and their parents got divorced. And so it's interesting that you say that, because it takes a lot on the kids.
It does. Just, you know, when you spoke of a lot of disabled people that you've witnessed it happen with, my job right now, I work as a vocational rehabilitation counselor. So I work with a lot of disabled individuals, and they go through a lot of grief as well. There's a lot of things that individuals with disabilities, other people don't get that they go through. And with that, there can come grief. There's all kinds of you know, grief of an inability to do anything that you can no longer do or were never able to do. Grief when people don't understand what you're going through and then try to treat you in a way that you don't like because they just don't get it. So
I have been through grief, so to speak, of losing my ability to walk independently and also losing my mom, who died of a brain aneurysm, and she was my sole aid for 23 years. And so I've been experiencing grief, to say, in two different situations. And I didn't realize until speaking to you that even though my parents never got divorced, I didn't realize that divorce was a form of grief for everyone involved, because we're losing the part of family. People automatically assume grief is when someone dies, or people automatically assume that grief is when someone dies, and grief can be losing your ability to do something or losing your ability to have a father or mother or something along those lines. It doesn't have to be when someone dies.
That's correct. It anything that becomes a loss in a situation that matters becomes grief. That's absolutely true.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good grief. No, literally, because I did not know that, and a lot of my listeners did not know that. And until you have experienced grief, you don't know the right words to say. I had experienced grief. I still screwed up with a dear friend of mine. Luckily, she forgave me on the 1 month anniversary of her son, who was a dear friend of mine, dying of a heart attack because he had Down syndrome. And I asked her, the dummy I was, I said, "How are you?" And it didn't even dawn on me that it was 1 month anniversary, and she goes, "I'm not good." And then when I looked at my calendar, I'm like, oh shit, here we go, it's the 1 month anniversary, and I'm asking, "How are you?" And it's like, ugh, you don't do that. So until people experience grief, they don't get it, as you said. And so what is the most helpful chapter in this book to people and to my listeners?
I think it depends on who the listener is. If you are grieving, the book is written to teach people of what not to do to make people hurt worse, because some of the most innocent things that you can do to someone that's grieving, in your mind, you might feel like this is the right thing to do, but it can be the worst thing you can do. It also has sections in it, for example, grief waves, that really speak to an individual who is grieving. It tells them what they're experiencing and how to work through it so they understand that they really are not losing their mind. So it depends on who is reading it and what you're after. The one thing that I will tell you that seems to be prevalent across the populace, if anyone is listening to this, the automatic response when you come across someone who is grieving is to want to hug them, to touch them, to try and provide comfort by giving them some type of physical connection. And frequently, not all the time, but frequently, that absolutely is the worst thing you can do. Because if you stop and think about it, why do you want to hug that person? Most likely because they hurt and you're feeling their pain and you want to find a way to comfort them so that pain will stop. Well, that's about you. You're trying to make it stop. It's not about the person who's grieving. So if you can get into that person's world and find out what it is they really need, you'll be more help to them than anybody else they come in contact with.
Yeah. In my particular situation, that only happened last week, this person wanted to not only receive hugs, thank God, but this person wanted to share her son's legacy and explain the true explanation of Down syndrome. So I said, okay, here's what we're going to do with my books, and she agreed to it. And so when I said that to her, I didn't realize that she wanted to be so involved in this book that I'm writing and that I'm teaching people about all disabilities, including cerebral palsy. But when I realized that maybe she didn't want a hug, I wasn't planning on giving her a hug anyway, because I knew that the situation that was told to me was not a very good situation anyway. So that's the lesson you can do if people don't want a hug, they don't want a hug. Now, if they're a hugging person, that's fine. But I agree with Diane when she says you have to be careful how much you hug the person, even though you feel like you should hug a person. But some people don't want hugs. Some people, that's not their nature anyway. So I'm thinking that one of the key lessons that we can learn from Diane's book is how to appropriately deal with grief. Is that the correct saying? I mean, I'm so used to walking up, and I need to pick up Diane's book for myself, and I'm so used to walking into a situation and giving the person a hug.
Sometimes that's appropriate, the individual might actually feel the need to have it, but more often than not, it's not appropriate, and you won't know that unless you ask first. People, depending on their level of grief, if their grief is deep enough and hard enough, it will actually make their skin sore. So to get touched when your skin hurts is not a positive thing. It just depends on the person and the level of their grief. So my advice would be, ask if they feel like having a hug, or just say, what can I do for you? That is the best thing. And if they say nothing, then what the best thing you could probably do for them is just to sit in the room where they're at very quietly and give them the room for their grief without letting them feel like they're alone. A story that was relayed to me that supports that, where there were two men. One man went into a room. His wife had died, and he was grieving deeply, and he was questioning God, why did this happen? And he didn't know what to do. Another man came in and sat right next to him and put his hand on him and began to pray for him. And the man who was grieving stated, my prayer changed from God help me to God please make him get his hand off me and move away from me. The man finally left, and a little later another man came in. And this was a true story. The second man that came in sat quietly in the room, not next to him, but just in the room where he was at, just sat quietly. He said after he finally got past knowing the man was in there, he began crying out to God for help again, and he said his prayer at that point changed from, God, please don't let that man leave me alone, because I don't want to feel alone in my grief. So it wasn't about being touched. It was about somebody just being there for him. There's one thing I would like to add for your listeners who might be grieving. Grieving is a process, and people like us to hurry up and get over that grief and move forward. After a year, we should be over it. But I would like to encourage you, take all the time you need. Grief is a process, and we need to process through it healthy. Take all the time that you need. And really focus on those grief waves and getting through them.
Oh my God! I learned so much from you, Diane. I didn't realize that. I thought when I was experiencing my own grief in two different situations, I thought I was nuts the way my body ached. Especially when my mom died. But now I'm realizing that was part of the grief.
Yes. And, you know, when even now, I know for myself, and because of that, this may be true for you as well. Just because it's been 10 years, I have learned to cope, but I still have moments where I still hurt. It never goes away. We just learn to cope.
The pain never, ever, 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 I don't care how much this gets drilled into us. The pain of losing a common law husband, the pain of losing a mother, the pain of losing a son, the pain of grief never goes away. The pain of losing your ability to walk, in my case, also never goes away. I don't care what people say. Oh, they say to me, a month after that my mom died, the pain will go away, the pain will go away, the pain will go away.
No.
No.
You just learned to cope, didn't you?
Go away. Yes.
Yeah. That's what's left to us. We learned to cope.
But no, the pain won't go away. So any listener who is listening to this in archives and who is listening to this in iTunes, when you hear me speak of my mother and when you hear me speak of friends who've gone to grief and when you hear me speak of the disabled, the grief that they experience in any situation will never go away. And as Diane said, divorce is a form of grief, which I did not realize. And do not, which I learned from Diane, do not hug a person automatically. Ask them first, because it's also an encroachment of their space. It's also a boundary issue, too. And so do not hug a person, because you'll probably make it worse, not make it better. Ask them, what can I do to help you? And if they say nothing, as Diane said, sit there with them, and they'll open up eventually, and 9 times out of 10, in my situation, they like to hear stories of the person they're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've come to.
Yeah, that's true.
They like to make
sense of the grief. And sometimes, because grief is senseless, you can't reason it out. So the best that a person can get is to talk about those things that hurt. Talk about the things that make them happy, but talk about the things that hurt as well. And just having somebody, everybody would probably state that once in a while it's just nice to be heard. It's nice that sometimes somebody is actually listening. And so if you are that person and you're with someone who's grieving, you're in the room with them, you're leaving them alone, if you just be patient and be calm, then you might be the person that they connect with in the chaos when everybody else is increasing their chaos. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That makes complete sense. I mean, I asked this person the other day, I said, well, what do you want to do about this book? She goes, we do X, Y, and Z, and we eliminate the bad characters in Z, and it's like, okay, we leave it up to you. We don't automatically assume you want to donate to this one charity. You may have a different charity, so that's why I'm leaving it up to her. Basically, I'm leaving it up to the family, because the family has different viewpoints than I do, although the family and I have very similar viewpoints. But but you kind of have to ask the person what they want and what they need, because you can't automatically assume what they want and what they need.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I have given out a lot of those books to help people and have been told that repeatedly. They've said things like, I just never knew, and I understand myself better now since reading this, or I understand how best to help somebody now since reading this.
Well, in the short,
you are right.
In the short conversation I've had with you, my God, I've learned two things that I did not know. And so that's amazing right there. Like, in the short conversation I've had with you, Diane, I've learned a lot.
Well, that makes me happy, Wynn. If anybody can take something away from it, the conversation, or, you know, that's the purpose for why I wrote the book. If anybody can take something away from it, that's what counts. Then it's achieved
that's
its purpose.
That's what counts. And where can people find you, and where are you based to do this community outreach, and where can people find you?
Well, The book itself is on Amazon.com. Amazon sells it, and it's called How to Help Someone Who's Grieving. As far as me, if you want to connect with me personally, I have an email address I give, and people, it's the best way to catch me. And that email address is R like Randy, D like dog, W like William, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at gmail.com. And if you email me at that email address.
Is that on your website as well?
No, that's just a personal email address. It's easier for me to connect with individuals if they email me personally. It's on Facebook.
Okay.
You can email me on Facebook if you would prefer to do that. You can email me on Twitter if you prefer to do that. But that address is one that will come straight to me, and I usually get it fairly quickly. So
it's not on your website, but you're suggesting that if people go to your website, they can connect with you via Facebook and via Twitter.
They can send me messages through either one of those resources, and I'll get them as well.
Okay.
But I generally, when I, the rdwashley@gmail.com, when I give that out, I usually get emails from people who've had personal experiences and just need somebody to listen. And so if that's one of your listeners, please feel free to take advantage of it.
Well, that's a very kind offer. I'm sure that one of my listeners may come out of the woodwork to me, or may come out of the woodwork to you. I never know the power of women of wisdom, or wind women of wisdom, which we're slowly transferring to, but I never know the power of this show. And I want to thank Diane for coming on and sharing the stories and sharing her experiences.
You are very welcome, and I was very thankful for the opportunity. Thank you, Wynn.
Thank you. And thank you, you guys, for supporting Women of Wisdom. And I hope Diane's knowledge was insightful to you. And again, if you go to the website, she specifically said you can connect with her via private message on Twitter, on Facebook, I'm sorry, and direct message on Twitter. And she also gave her email address too, which I am going to use myself eventually. And then I'm going to also pick up her book, because I think it's a great learning lesson for all of us. And I appreciate every woman who listens to this show, even in archives and even on Blog Talk. And I know you guys don't have all the time in the world, but I appreciate the tidbits you do to tune into this show again. It can be streamed in iTunes. Again, my extension of Podcast Garden is also streamed as an iTunes under Wynn's Women of Wisdom, which eventually we're transferring this show into Wynn's Women of Wisdom. And so I appreciate every single woman and every single person, and always connect with me via email, connect with me via Facebook. You can find me under Wynn Charles on Facebook, and you can see what I'm doing there. Both pages are combined, and always check out my website, either authorwynncharles.com, which is underneath this podcast, or simply wynncharles.com. And you can always email me too, or get a hold of me, and someone will give me the message, as Diane said. And so I appreciate Women of Wisdom, and I hope you guys tune in to another fabulous episode. Thanks to you guys.